Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all try a wine from Spain in Cune Crianza. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. Tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening, Rob.
Good evening, Scott.
How are you? How are you doing?
I am doing lovely.
It's the Sunday night podcast.
It is.
Wherever it is, whatever time it is, folks that you're listening to us, we're glad to have you with us.
We are. But also with us is the Triple B. I meant nothing by that negatively.
Good evening.
Possibly.
I know. We're glad you joined us, but Becky's here.
That's right. No, I didn't mean it that way. I meant it's all fantastic. That's right. Sometimes you need to evaluate in your mind what you're saying before you say
That'd be a good idea most of the time.
Yeah. Well, then I would never get any words out. So, on tonight's show.
Maybe that would be a better thing.
Right.
Oh, but boom.
How much better off would it all be?
I know. On tonight's show.
The ways.
Tonight's show. After I get interrupted 17 times. Oh, I'm a lot in life. Anyway, on the show tonight, we have an award-winning wine, because Scott loves it when I say that. But
aren't they all award-winning?
Well, no. Butter Chardonnay is not award-winning.
I'm sure it's won something, like the Long Beach
Julia James wine show. Is not award-winning.
No.
No.
Definitely not.
No.
Unless it's for bad.
Yeah. They get the Golden Ass Award, because it tastes like gold ass. I don't know why.
I don't even know about gold.
Yeah, well, I meant spray-painted ass.
Butt? They get a Mud Butt Award?
That's just horrible. We're in the Greater Mud Butt Competition. The International Mud Butt Competition. Mud Butt. I judged that one
year. That's why they named it Butter.
I judged that 4 years in a row, and then I found out what the name was. That was embarrassing for me. So.
Poor James Suckling.
That's right. On the wine tonight. On the wine, yes. The wine tonight, folks, is Cune Rioja, which is a Crianza from Spain in Rioja. It is.
How are you saying that?
Which? Cune? C-U-N-E.
Which is odd.
Why?
Because it's actually C-V-N-E.
Well, yes. But
stands
they...
for
mm-hmm.
Campania Vinicola del Norte de España. But yet, the label is C-U-N-E.
Cune.
On the back it says C-U-N-E, Cune Crianza, but then it talks about that it's produced by the fifth generation of the founders of C-V-N-E.
Huh.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a scandal.
Well, by European.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Wine situations.
The Europeans in the world probably are very familiar with Cune because there's 4.5 million bottles made annually.
You mean a
whopping 4.5 million bottles.
I mean a modest 4.5 million. $12.99 of your money, and it's 85% Tempranillo, 15% Grenache, and Muzuelo.
Can I have a pen and write down that?
You can. There you go. But it's already written.
Here. I see it.
I provided Becky with all the details.
15% Grenache.
That's right. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be back here on the Wine Vault. Folks, there are many ways to enjoy the Wine Vault. The first way is on iTunes. Look for the Wine Vault. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Beyond that, we are on Facebook at thewinevault.rs. We are on Twitter at thewinevaultpodcast. And our website is thewinevault.org. You can also drop us a line at winevault@outlook.com. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Craig Walters Allstate Insurance, at 740-862-4585. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. We'll be right back on the Wine Vault.
And we're back, folks. So the 16 Cune Crianza from Rioja in Spain. Now, this wine does have a few accomplishments. Firstly, did you want to do it, Becky? You gave me a look. I can talk about it.
I can also read off this piece of paper.
You can. Yes, but I typed the piece of paper. Mm. It has 3 reviews, and it got a 90 from all 3 reviewers.
Gotta give them consistency. Mm-hmm.
And that would be The Spectator, The Enthusiast, and Robert Parker.
I have not gotten around to reviewing this wine. I am very busy with my master class, so.
How's that going for you, James?
What?
Your master class. Are you getting a lot of hits, so to speak?
14 people in the last year and a half have watched it.
That's beautiful. You must be working on that very hard.
I live off that money, you asshole. Don't laugh. It's not funny.
So, Triple B.
Yep.
Would you like to read the reviews for us?
Sure. Whose would you like for me to read first? Does it matter?
Surprise me.
Okay. This was a Wine Enthusiast Top 100 Best Buy.
Ooh.
They say garnet color with violet notes on the meniscus. What does that mean?
On the meniscus?
Yeah, on your knee. Yeah. This old man, he played one. He played knick-knack on my thumb.
On my meniscus.
Yeah, yeah. So basically.
In the nose. So this is now like pouring it in your nose.
Like cocaine, yes.
Yeah. It is surprisingly aromatic, specially emphasized the red fruits, and licorice in balance with the aromas from the American barrel. This is aged on American oak.
French and American.
On this sheet, on the other sheet you gave me, it says American oak.
It's French and American.
It says nothing about French.
Look at the back of the bottle. French and American oak.
So.
On the back of the bottle?
Mm-hmm.
Meniscus.
Okay.
We discuss it all the time. The watery edge.
I have heard that.
Not necessarily a watery edge, but the thin rim at the edge of a wine surface where the wine meets the glass.
I remember that from like high school chemistry class when you're measuring. You're supposed to measure from the bottom of the meniscus.
Yes, but
I've heard that
those
before.
It can be different in mostly in a graduated cylinder, for example, the liquid will cap and not curve to the edge like you would see in the meniscus of a glass
like
of wine.
Like oil would have a larger meniscus.
It's very interesting.
Well,
I don't know how this has a violet note on the meniscus still.
Yeah, that's weird. Mm-hmm. So maybe, you're saying it's got a violet color at the meniscus at the edge. Does so.
Maybe. Yeah. Oh, maybe. Okay.
Yeah, and looking at it, I get it. Oh. I get it. Hey, Mikey.
Mm.
Hey, Jimmy.
Eureka.
The aromas remind us of vanilla and cocoa with some caramel. Its smooth entry into the mouth takes us to a round step with a long fruity retro tail.
Yes.
It is a pleasant... This feels like they translated it to Spanish and back to English.
And it was done by someone of Croatian descent.
It is pleasant, fresh, and perfect companion for all the dishes of the Mediterranean diet. Did you translate it?
No, I'm not of Croatian descent.
Allegedly.
I know.
But I do wear tracksuits, so there's that.
All right, so then the Wine Enthusiast actual review, when they gave it a 90, berry, spice, and tobacco aromas work in unison to give this Crianza a nice start. A firm palate avoids jamminess and shows grip. Dark plum, raspberry spice, and pepper flavors hold on through the finish. For everyday Rioja, there isn't much better than this.
So someone that is literate wrote that one.
Okay. And this sounds like a dream come true. This is dark plum, raspberry spice, and peppers. That sounds like, and pepper flavors, that sounds like.
Yes.
I mean.
An ideal wine.
Particularly a Rioja.
Mm-hmm.
True.
We'd love that.
True.
Yep.
We honestly kind of sort of expect that.
Yep.
Demand it.
Mm-hmm. You're so demanding.
You're so vain.
You probably think this song is about you.
You're just reciting song lyrics.
So then Wine Spectator also gave it a 90.
That's right.
Black cherry, red plum, licorice, and smoke mingle in this round red. Shows good density, while orange peel acidity and light tannins keep it focused. Drink now through 2028.
Drink or hold. I trademarked that. They can't say it.
Hey, Thumper, calm down over there.
I know. I was doing my fingernails, and he's got his whole leg going. Then Robert Parker also gave it a 90.
There's a bunch of nervous ticks around here. The fuck? Everybody's all hopped up.
I know.
It's my restless legs.
Jesus. You've just been taking caffeine pills.
Injecting him into
He drank 18 pots of coffee before he came in. Go ahead.
Okay. So Robert Parker said it's affordable and classical blend of Tempranillo with some 15% Garnacha and Mezuelo that is easy to drink and understand.
Oh.
It's wonderful when you have a wine that's not confusing.
I don't understand. What do you mean?
Oh. Well, he says it has a soft palate and an approachable profile. That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
It has a bright nose with red fruit rather than black. Quite aromatic and expressive.
Hmm.
The palate is soft and approachable, very easy to drink with a touch of freshness. They produced a whopping 4.5 million bottles of this! Exclamation point.
A little bit repetitious.
That's what Rob read.
This is the review. It's on thewine.com, too. It's a little
The
bit
bottle I tasted was bottled in April after 12 months in barrique. What does that mean?
It's storage.
Barrel.
Oh. There are 8 different lots of this wine that are bottled throughout the year, for which they try to make the most homogenous blend possible, but some variation is inevitable. The overall quality of this year, 2017, but this is a 16 we're drinking. Oh, geez. This is what he says. The overall quality of this year is certainly higher than the previous one.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Although...
So the 16 is better than the 17. No, 15. The 16 is better than the 15.
But every year they get strong scores. So 89s, 90s, 91s. Even James Suckling gave it a 92 a couple times.
Really? I did. I did do that, yes.
So why don't they charge more for it?
Because it's a Crianza. Hmm. And they make a whopping 4.5 million bottles of it.
Jeez.
I mean, that's the thing.
Did anybody do the math on that?
You divide it by 12, you'll find it out.
No, divided by 12.
To find out how many cases.
No, my math was if they sell it for what, $12.99?
Well, 12 to 14.
Times 4 million?
Yes, 4.5.
They make over $52 million a year on this wine.
Well, that's retail. They only make about half that.
Okay.
That's still pretty good.
Yeah.
Still pretty good. So, the wine.
Sorry.
It looks the part.
It does. It is a little bit watery edge, but that's okay.
It has a large meniscus.
How dare you? It has a violet note on the meniscus.
Sure it does. Sure it does.
How dare you?
We're going to be so smart now.
Nope. We're still dumb.
It is violet on the nose, though. Violet. Cherry.
You don't get that tobacco there.
Yeah, I'm not smelling that either. We're just getting ready to ask.
Yeah.
Licorice.
Yeah, slightly. Sure. Like a red licorice.
Red rope.
Not a black licorice.
No.
I might get
Yeah, like sweet licorice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I can smell the oak. I'm trying to dig around for the smoked tobacco. I don't know that I get it.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna find it.
The oak is pretty light, too.
I don't think it's there. You know, one of the reviews, Parker, mentioned that there's 5 or 6 different versions of this every year. So you're going to have some variation.
Yeah, because
Because it's 4.6 million bottles.
That's true. You're not going to have... And it's pulled from different vineyards around the area. And so, you can only expect so much... consistency. There's going to be a little bit of bottle variation as much as they try. It really is. Mm-hmm. So here we go.
I quite like the nose, though.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of pass by it. It's nothing spectacular, but it's a nice, soft nose.
Mm-hmm. The wine itself is lighter on the palate, but it
probably
has
a little lighter than it should be.
Than some are, yeah. Although, that's the thing about Tempranillo; it takes many forms. Bright cherry, a nice fruit core, a little bit of sweetness there, but not sweet, obviously.
Sweet cherry, sweet plum. Mm-hmm.
There is a little smoky tobacco edge, but what's nice is it has a lively little, slightly tannic and spicy finish. Mm-hmm. And that is a very nice finish.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely the star of the wine.
Mm-hmm. It's the best feature. Yeah.
And when you're drinking the wine, it seems like it's, I don't know, like a medium bodied, but then the finish makes me feel like it's more of a full body because it's such a strong finish. What would you all classify this as?
Well, the body, I think it's medium body.
But yeah, that finish, it's medium. Tannic. Yeah, there's sure. Tannin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it has a bounciness to it. I mean, it has a slight vibrance to it. It tastes alive. It tastes fresh and exciting.
Really easy to drink.
It is.
But I would think that a novice red wine drinker would find this quite approachable.
Sure.
The tannins, it could be a bit much, but you know, at some point if you're going to drink red wine, this would be a nice transition to big boy wines and big girl wines.
And it is a great, Parker touched on it briefly, but it is a great introduction into a Tempranillo, into a Spanish wine. It's not really overwhelming. We've had some that, like the olive taste is very, very strong, or, you know,
as they get older, sure.
Mm-hmm, where that might be off-putting if you haven't tasted something like this, but I think this is a great, representation of the varietal. How's that?
That's true. One thing I would say for people that are trying to think of a mouthfeel, something you've commonly drank, not to say that you haven't commonly drank Crianza, but this is a mouthfeel similar to Chianti. This one does.
I agree.
Now, flavor profile, not especially, but not exactly, but the mouthfeel is very Chianti-esque. Yeah, and I think that's where a spectator is getting confused in their 2028 thing, because everything in Italy goes for 50 years, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They're like, is this Chianti? Oh, how much they pay for? $8? Oh, it'll age for 15 years. Yeah. Don't touch it for another 7. You know, so yeah, it's like 13.99. Yeah, I think the maturity days will be like 2038, 2087, something like that. I think that'd be good. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Todd, I think you're exaggerating again.
What? No. No.
You and those Italians.
The only one that won't age is Col di Sasso. Any idiot knows that.
Except us.
No, except you. You are the one that said that.
Oh, my Lord.
You. I think this will age. And then you had it for 6 months. This tastes like poo. You're like, it tastes like sheet.
You were on board that you thought that would age.
Did you see me buy any? Nope.
Well, you couldn't find it.
I bought Col di Sasso to age. It's a fine wine.
It was fine.
It tastes like a vinaigrette now. Like Newman's Own, what, balsamic vinaigrette? Would it have a little raspberry to it, too?
Like the little seeds.
Yeah, poppy seed. It tastes like poppy seed.
It's a tartaric acid crystal. It's a little
nugget of sediment. I like the texture. Nugget. It's gritty. God. Better if you break off part of the bottle, grind it up, and put it in there, then drink that. So, gets it over quicker.
Oh my God.
I know, he's in a mood.
Such a train wreck. He totally said the same thing about Col di Sasso, that he thought it was ageable for a couple of years. Turns out we were wrong, but
no,
it was fine.
You were wrong.
It was fine, he just leaned out.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the wine enthusiast says that it shows grip, what do you think that is?
Tannin.
Oh.
It's the only thing I've ever...
Grippiness in the tannin.
...described
by
grippy or grip.
The only thing I would say about this wine, we've had several Riojas and Tintos on here. I mean, like Protocolo, Montebello, Montebuena is what it was. A bunch of stuff like that. And so we've had a lot of comps that I can think of. And then even a lot of Monastrells, even though these don't necessarily go that way. But this wine is different than those, in the fact I would say this is more classic Crianza than those are. First of all, those weren't Crianzas, but this is a very classic Crianza. It has that that cherry forwardness, mm-hmm. and has a spicy finish, and it has the mouthfeel of a Crianza. Because sometimes we have these big, we drink these things and it tastes like they're rocket fuel,
yeah.
Tempranillos, and those are delicious. We love them. But that's not typical, not atypical, typical.
For Crianza.
Yes, for mm-hmm. Crianza, or Rioja for the whole. I mean, and this is a little more representative of that.
And the blending of it has something to do with that. It's probably what gives it that,
I think, it's
fruit forward
it's
nature.
It's the traditional edge to their winemaking, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I love a huge Tempranillo, and this is definitely mm-hmm. a much more like muted, sedated one.
Well,
which is fine. It has its own merits, but that is worthwhile to point out, because don't buy this expecting this huge powerhouse of a drink.
No,
that's just not that. Mm.
It's
And Scott,
the palate is soft and approachable. That was mm-hmm. Parker's yep. Wine Advocate's description, yep. and the palate is soft and approachable.
Yep.
The Triple B and I have been to Rioja. Scott, have you been?
I've not been to Rioja.
How awkward for you. Anyway.
It's very awkward.
Yes, we were in Lungrano, and I'm sure we've told you about this. And this wine, in my opinion, kind of...
You have, just not tonight.
Yes, yes, the other night, represents what we experienced. Yes, it's approachable. At the same time, it is traditional. In Rioja, there's not a lot of English speaking. There's not a lot of conformists for tourism. They are them. I mean, there isn't anything that is easy for the tourist to come in, because they have traditions. They are regimented. Dinner starts at 10. This is when it starts.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. You starve until 10 p.m. I mean,
this wine shows that?
Kind of. I'm just saying it's not, they're not reinventing the wheel here. You know, if you want to order something, you need to either read Spanish or just say, I don't know how to speak anything, and they just bring you something out of pity. That's what this wine is.
What?
Yeah.
It's better than a pity drink.
No. I'm just saying, it doesn't care what the world looks at as fashionable for Tempranillo, like a Protocollo.
Oh, right.
Like the Montebuelo. Mm. And that was Rioja as well, and I believe that was a Crianza. But it doesn't care.
I do have some questions.
Sure.
So I think this wine is very nice. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I'm going to be at a 90 on this. What do you think has led Parker Wine Enthusiast and The Spectator to give it 90s?
Advertising money.
Well, not all of them.
Usually Parker's not.
I think if you're going by the Olympic scale for a Spanish Crianza, this wine checks the boxes for what it should be. Now, that's assuming that you believe a Spanish Crianza goes really high.
Well, has the ability to get...
See, I don't.
I think that I'm of a similar mindset as you. I would not expect a Crianza to be on a 100 scale for it to get...
Well,
can you imagine it getting a 99?
Well, no, yeah. I mean, so to get to a 90, you better be... I mean, you have to be good,
yeah.
not in relation to Crianzas. You have to be good in relation to wine in general.
This is...
I'm not on their commune board where I'm judging this or
this
that.
This is enjoyable,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
but it's going to be more like the Bud Light of Rioja.
No, it's not. No. I wouldn't say that.
I'm not saying about the quality.
Well,
I'm just saying
4.5 million bottles.
It's large scale. Well, it's more approachable for people. Uh-huh. It's still the real deal. You know, it's got the nice tannins, got a nice finish. It's treated properly. It's a well-made wine. It's just not this big Tempranillo superstar that we love.
Well, okay, it doesn't get in the Hall of Fame level.
Right.
It doesn't mean it doesn't get in the other one.
Okay.
I mean, it's a good value. It's a good representation of Rioja wines. I mean, it really is.
It really is.
And it's really, really reasonably priced. The fact it's not, we don't all probably agree it's a 90. Not that surprising.
Yeah.
Because some of these wines that we give those scores to, they also have to appeal to us a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like Protocollo. No professional wine reviewer other than James Suckling gave the kind of scores I gave that.
What are you trying to say, Rob?
But they didn't do that because they're not on crack like James is. But
or us.
I was looking for my pen. I had it clipped in my shirt the whole time.
I love this pen.
I love this pen. And I like that pen too. But
no, those inkjets are great.
Oh, this is fantastic. Best pen ever.
This one's better.
Well, that one's good. That one's a good pen.
Is this from your work?
No.
Where'd it come from?
I bought it.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I don't bring things home from... No, I bought this. I buy pens occasionally. Mm. I don't take... No. No. I'm not for that. But anyway.
I'll pack it up, pack it in.
But this wine, where it doesn't necessarily get it going is the... Not to say that it isn't tasty, but the really tasty level. You know what I'm saying? Those little, the jazziness, it doesn't have that to 10. It doesn't have, it's not flamboyant, for instance. It doesn't have any panache, pantomime. Those things aren't, this wine doesn't have, you know, I could see you're sitting by a seaside, no, you wouldn't be, not in La Grotto. If you're sitting in an alleyway and some asshole in some a Citroen drives by in the alleyway, which is really a sidewalk, that was me, by the way, that doesn't look like they know where they're going, and you're trying to enjoy a glass of wine, yes, some asshole in some Citroen flies by you, and you're enjoying that, and I could see that being this wine, although they really drink a lower level than this, actually, but this would be a wonderful wine to have in some of those restaurants with authentic cuisine. The best risotto I've ever had was...
For all the dishes of the Mediterranean diet.
That's true. But the best beef carpaccio and the best risotto I ever had was in Lungrano at a restaurant called Sin Gluten.
San.
Was it San or... No, it's Sin. Without.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what it's called, without gluten.
Huh.
And it was magnificent. It was a really good... Well, you didn't eat anything, but I loved it. Didn't you?
I did eat.
It was
really late.
It was, well, it was 10 p.m., but the beef carpaccio, Scott, something else. And the risotto, my good Lord. Well, and it had local olive oil drizzled over.
See, that's what I was going to say. How did they serve it? You know, I think that Spanish olive oils are underappreciated. I love Spanish olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
My go-to olive oil is Spanish olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Give them a shout-out.
So, from Trader Joe's, but I used to get, oddly, from Odd Lots. They had this Spanish olive oil. It was dirt cheap. It was fantastic. It was just good on bread. But Ibarra, it was called. Y-B-A-R-R-O,
probably.
Something like that.
No one's ever going to find it anyway.
No. And they just up and stopped carrying it.
Mm. Well, it's because they ran out of it because they just bought it out of something.
Yeah,
that's
what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Like Odd Lots, TJ Maxx, not TJ Maxx. Yeah, TJ Maxx has a good like olive oil section.
It's not bad.
But that is like a fun.
You're going to have to do it yourself.
That is a fun place to go and just try.
Home Buys is another, or Home Goods.
Home Goods, yeah.
Yeah, Home Goods is also good. But yeah, TJ, that's where like occasionally that's where I get that stuff is Home Goods and TJ Maxx. Mm-hmm. That's where I get olive oil from.
It's so much fun to try.
Trader Joe's has great olive oil.
They do.
Good
but
prices.
I'm not near a Trader Joe's, unfortunately.
Neither am I, but I still go.
Well, you are at least in Columbus. I'm not in Columbus.
True that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, folks, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, on tonight's potpourri, we have another rousing edition of Pro or Con.
Pro or Con. I'm con against this.
I know. I am kind of con just in general, too.
Good. And just to remind the listeners on how this works, our contestants, Becky and Scott, they'll pull out a card. Before they read it, they will say whether or not they are going to argue for or against it. And these are all wine-related things. Then the opposite person will argue the other way. Whether or not they believe what they're saying or not is irrelevant. I will judge who wins fairly. And we'll start off with the Triple B.
Point of parliamentary procedure. Shouldn't we get to read what we're going to investigate?
No.
Per con?
No. Okay. That's not the rule.
Even Trumpy gets to read.
Con. Becky's going to say con.
Even Trumpy gets to read the charges against him.
All right. Con. What is it?
19 crimes.
Oh, 19 crimes. This should be difficult. Scott could fuck it up, though. Wow. It sucks.
What varietal do they consider just a blend?
No, no. They have individual varietals.
Oh, they do?
Then they have the warden.
Oh, yeah.
The warden.
19 crimes is a blend.
They have Cabernet, Shiraz.
Oh, you can buy individual ones?
Yeah. We had Cabernet, I think.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Hard Chardonnay. They have Pinot.
Oh, they have a beer line, too.
Oh. Have you started already? Because you're really winning. Yeah,
we had 19 crimes. The red is the red blend.
No, we didn't. I think we had a Cabernet.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or the Shiraz. They do have a red blend, though. Okay. They have everything. Go ahead, Becky.
Okay. So I am con 19 crimes.
Yes.
Scott, you're not allowed to do any research.
No, you're not.
Okay. So.
put the iPad down. If you need research on that, you're just dumb. Go ahead.
Okay. Right. So there are some wines that exist. What's the one that comes in the jug and it's like $5?
Carlos Rossi?
Yes, Carlos Rossi.
Okay.
And that exists for someone that has a drinking problem.
True.
That has an addiction.
Mm.
And that's fine. That's what you want to do. Whatever. That's what you buy. 19 crimes cost $12.99.
True.
That is kind of a lot of money. You could have bought Kune instead. There's 20 other wines you could have bought. Hecula. You could have bought, all these other wines that we have. You could buy Klein Ancient Vin, Ancient Vines, which.
You could?
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyways,
wow, that was hard to say.
The whole entire series is abysmal. Evidently, they also have a 19 Crimes beer line. And on top of that, we did not even remember the wine that we had. And there was some debate about whether it was a blend, a cab, or a Syrah. It was that terrible that we could not even remember for sure which varietal.
I think it was. Cabernet.
Now it's time.
Let's hear the pros.
By the way, well done.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
First of all,
this is going to be the dumbest thing anyone's ever.
Jerry, you besmirched the makers of 19 Crimes. Recently, I was at the Blue Jackets game, and it was the premium offering to the hockey fan community. Did you know that 19 Crimes is offered in a 187-mil bottle? Screw cap at that. And 19 Crimes, they have
their four packs
skills. If you recall, we were drinking the 16 that was bottled and shipped to the United States within 2 months of its harvest. It's amazing. How can you
so their
doubt
logistical
that?
Prowess is
oh, it's just
it's like Uber. It's like Uber. It's not it's their logistics is what's impressive.
It's Uber meets Back to the Future.
It's actually about as well you could have done on pro on that. Well done, Scott. I'm not saying you won. I'm just saying that was really well done. That was actually impressive. Okay. Good.
I try.
That was good.
You did find a positive. Okay, well, it has a screw cap and
they
have a good logistics network.
They do. And you can also get it in a smaller amount.
Which is the best part.
Oh, wow. It's
still a lot for Thumbelina.
That's true. So I'm going to write down who won that.
You won that because he's hiding.
No, I'm not.
Mm-hmm. I'm going pro.
Pro.
Wow. The best thing about this person is not this person.
You have to acknowledge
this person has elevated wine review scores.
You're mm-hmm. talking about yourself, aren't you?
He has
a
master class.
Oh.
But the best thing about this.
Tell me more.
Is the wine guys.
Yes.
Do it. What? Keep going.
What are you talking about?
James Suckling.
That's right. Talk about me. I love to hear it.
So, but recently on the show, we've actually come to terms with occasionally he's correct. We'd love to mock him. What more can you say? The James Suckling score. Aggregate score.
72.
He's one of our favorite parts of the show. At least Rob's favorite part of the show.
Well,
him and the Pinophile.
Oh, by the way, did you see we have a Prince of Pinot picture?
That was kind of creeping me out. I kept looking at that going, no, where
Rob
is
texted
that?
It to me. Like, I was at work and he sent it to me. And I was like, I don't even know who is this.
The Prince of Pinot. It's me. I have a crown on.
So there's a little bit of a display case feel to the wine vault.
Right.
And
right.
Yeah. We have ourselves surrounded with inspirational things.
Arbitrarily.
You have OZV sitting next to you.
The wine guy.
Yes.
Printed a picture of the Pinophile and decided to frame it and put it in the art collection.
Well, I saw a frame that was empty. Laying on the shelf. And that. How do you know that's just a print from the... But I did Photoshop a crown on his head. So there's that.
So the crown was actually Photoshopped.
No, he was wearing a crown.
That was pretty creepy. I was really... It wasn't as creepy as the Colonel Sanders molesting Mrs. Butterworth in a national TV ad.
You got off on that.
It's creepy.
No. Okay,
it's
so...
It's creepy. Have you seen it yet?
No.
The KFC ad?
I don't think so. I don't watch that many commercials.
You have to see this. You'll be... Oh, my Lord.
So, off to the Triple B, the con of James Suckling.
Which is impossible.
So, for the most part, I don't think that he makes any sense.
What?
I can't make heads or tails of his reviews. He's extremely easy to mock. But the main point that I have that's a con...
What?
She says that like it's a negative thing. He's easy to mock.
Good counterpoint.
The main thing that I don't understand is how he can be a cigar and wine reviewer. Because smoking cigars would kill all your taste buds. How could you possibly pick up on the nuances of wine being a dual reviewer of those two items?
If you drink as much South American wine as he does, you need to smoke cigars.
Green pepper and tobacco. That's why I always taste tobacco in wines. I'm smoking.
Yeah.
I love Julia James Chardonnay. I was able to feel something finally in my life.
He also probably is a big scotch drinker. That's the trifecta.
There you go.
Just screw it.
Yeah. I wear lots of Stetson as well. So.
I bet he does.
Lots.
Chew. I feel like he probably has a leather vest.
Leather
vest. Like a black leather vest.
Hey, what's wrong with a black
leather
vest?
Do you wear a black leather vest?
Well, only when I'm feeling naughty.
As long as you don't know about the dog collar. What's that, Tim? No, never mind.
Okay. So, on to number three. This is Becky. What do you...
I've had to be con two in a row, so part of me feels like I need to be pro.
Well, there's some landmines in there, just worrying.
Okay, I'm
going
to go pro.
James Suckling wasn't. 19 Crimes wasn't.
Okay.
I don't know 100% for sure if this is the same thing.
Let me
see. Is Charles Shaw Two Buck Chuck?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I can do pro. Oh. It's Charles Shaw.
Oh, you have to do con, Scott.
I know. This is really opposite, isn't it?
The rosé has minerality.
It does.
Okay. So I have
not.
Charles Shaw. I'm going to be the pro. I don't think it's $2 anymore.
No.
It's usually, but it's still normally under 10 ish.
$4.19?
I don't know. What'd you pay for it last?
What
was your receipt?
I think it was like $8 or $9.
That's the organic.
Yeah,
level. That's their ultra premium.
Yeah, just the baseline Charles Shaw.
Okay.
Yeah.
$3.79 maybe.
Okay.
Well, don't you have the receipt?
And I think it depends on the market too. Because the prices in Vegas were cheaper.
I did not gander upon it in Vegas or anywhere. But you did give me that sherry, that nasty cream, the PX.
That you asked for.
It tasted good once, not twice. Go ahead.
Okay. So Charles Shaw Wine, I'm the pro again. So what I can tell you is I listened to a Trader Joe's podcast, and they talked about how they review wine. And they have a tasting panel where there's like 100 people that have to approve a wine before it goes on the sales floor. Now, I will say that for the most part...
That's a good job.
The Charles Shaw line is not something that I would choose to buy. There are other people that have liked this wine, especially the price point. It sells very well. It's a little bit almost like of a novelty that also makes a great gift. If there's someone that you want to buy something for, but you don't like really want to spend a lot of money, you can buy them Charles Shaw wine.
A half case.
You know, I one time bought a novelty item, but it was a small pecker condom. And what we did with it was we snuck it in my buddy Adam's belongings, and he pulled it out at his dad's, and he had a small pecker condom. And his dad's like, "You got a small pecker condom. Look at that small pecker. You don't take after me."
Probably a better novelty gift than Charles Shaw.
Probably a small pecker condom. That's right. Yes.
But.
Oh, look, a piece of cheese I've been hiding.
I'll shove it.
So I wouldn't say that this is going to win any awards in my book. But I think that a lot of people love it. It's better than other things I've drank. And it's super cheap. So if you wanted to buy a lot of it, have at it. That's all I got.
You made lemons out of lemonade.
No, I think that Triple B's offerings lacked sincerity.
She seems sincere.
What? Do you know that instead of attacking the wine, he's attacking... the debater.
I did notice that.
No,
minus 10.
Yeah.
No, I'm just pointing out that you lacked sincerity.
Oh.
It's obvious.
They didn't know that. She sounded sincere. She's just better at this than you are.
No, she lacked sincerity. She hates Charles Shaw.
I don't hate it as much as Rob does, but I don't enjoy it. I would never buy it.
I hate Charles Shaw and anyone that touches it.
Can't wait till we have it on the show again. No, it's not good.
Do you feel like a part of your heart's dying?
No.
Yes, it is.
No, not at all.
Yes. It's like Sophie's Choice. Don't buy that stuff regularly. You just buy it for special occasions.
I don't know why I bought that one bottle of rosé, and we like it.
No, we don't.
We as in
him and
you and your crazy ass people in your mind. My friend Franco.
Princess really exists?
She sometimes wished it wasn't so. Where was she yesterday? Not there.
It's her daughter's birthday. She went to spend time with Kyla Marie.
I never knew she had that daughter. She has a new daughter every week.
Jesus. No, Charles Shaw.
You don't
bad.
Have a son named Jack.
Folks, Charles Shaw is bad. It's not good.
Oh,
some of the whites are
it's bad. All it's right, not good.
But the reds, bad. The baseline Charles Shaw sucks. There's nothing more you can say about it.
It's well done.
I'm putting my case to rest.
Good job. So now on to the number. Okay, Scott, you're up. Pro or con?
Pro.
Pro.
I didn't read this before I chose that.
Pro. What is it?
Burgundy.
Okay.
When it comes to wine.
Do you know where that is? I'm just asking. Henry knows, but I didn't know if you did. Go ahead.
When it comes to wine.
It's in France, by the way.
One could argue Burgundy, Bordeaux, Burgundy, Bordeaux. But what a good argument that would be to have. It's the preeminent place for wine.
Are you arguing over truffle soup?
Ooh. Having that
kind of argument? I think Burgundy's better. I think Bordeaux's better. I think Burgundy's better. I have a wine tie on. I think Bordeaux's better. That's basically what that is.
You can't.
I have a level 7 wizard in my Dungeons and Dragons liege. What do you have?
My liege.
I don't even know if that's the right word because I'm cool. Go ahead.
Because you're cool.
I am. I don't know what the fuck that shit is. Go ahead. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
How dare you?
Go ahead.
You threw me off my game.
You don't have game. Go ahead.
Burgundy wine. Mm. It's pro all the way. It's what are you gonna do? What can you talk con about it? Oh, the price. Well, go ahead. Use that argument.
Okay, what grape Burgundy's. Is what? What are the grapes of Burgundy?
Pinot.
There are other grapes of Burgundy. Oh. Okay, go ahead, Becky. Con.
I'm not done yet.
Scott's a dumbass. Okay, go ahead. That was impressive. How about Chardonnay and Gamay?
Gamay.
There you go. Help you out okay. there. Henry knows those. Just so.
Oh, God.
He does not know Gamay.
Well, he doesn't. I'll teach him, though.
Okay. I knew Chardonnay.
So I would say that Burgundy is overall good as a region. And so making a con argument about Burgundy is rather difficult. But two points that I would make is, number one, they charge a lot for it. But you don't, that's not an indicator of the actual quality of the wine. You were more paying the price for the label of Burgundy. So I feel like there's some inflated, you can get some inflated cost. And then my other con is it's more like you can have some good wines that are from Burgundy, but just because it's from Burgundy doesn't make it be good. And so I feel like that is a major con of a wine area. There are poorly tended grape vineyards that have really, I think, relied on their name more than the skill.
Would you suggest that accessibility is an issue for the average wine consumer?
Oh, for sure. That would be another point. I'm not there yet. I'm not finished. But just saying.
I just was throwing that out.
You can get Burgundy anywhere in the world. You can get Burgundy. You just got to pay for it.
A cost, right. But it's not necessarily an indicator of, you're not paying necessarily for the quality of wine. You're paying for the name on it. Oh. So it's like a name brand, but not necessarily a quality. And that's the main problem that I have with Burgundy.
Okay. And now, folks, we're on to the final round.
Uh-oh. Jeez. Final Jeopardy.
It is five. Becky. Pro or con?
I'll do con.
Con.
Elegante. Nearly 60% of all the wine in Burgundy is white wine.
I don't know if I'm going to be very good at this either way.
Put it back away.
Can I do that?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Let me see it.
No.
Because I might have won.
Okay. This one will probably be worse. Con. Okay. I have Argentinian wine.
Softball.
So the con, I'm going to write it down before I forget. I have Argentinian wine. So Argentinian wine is the same as what you really see in most of South American wines. There are some really like gems of wines, but for the most part, there is no standard. There's no quality control. You're going to be up and down all the time. I think that this is an area where you really have to search for a good wine. And I don't know if from year to year there's any kind of consistency. I don't even really know if from bottle to bottle you're going to get a lot of consistency. And at the same time, I mean, it's a great place to look for a value wine, but you're going to have to really drink a lot of different wines to find those gems.
Okay. And then Scott, the pro argument for Argentinian wine.
When I spend my summers in Argentina, going to the cowboy rodeos.
Is that where you went after they didn't want you in Germany anymore?
Hey, they're harsh.
Name the city where you live in Argentina.
Oh, we live out on the ranch. We live.
Name a what continent would you be in if you were in Argentina?
South America.
Oh, well, you got that right. Good job.
Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Bonarda, known as Charbono, but with the Argentinian wines.
How many Charbonos have you seen?
What?
I just
fully
had
clothed?
One. I just had one this week, but
fully clothed. You had a what this week? Charbono.
Charbon. From Ohio.
Oh.
It was okay.
You,
Have you been beating your head against the wall?
I have a story off the air about this.
I don't think there's anything pro to the wine of Argentina. I really don't. I'm lying completely.
All right.
I give in.
Good job. What about...
they have great steak for their wine, though.
What about Cantina? What about Cantina? It's wonderful. I mean, actually, I think Argentina is one of the finest wine-growing regions in the world. Chile is where it gets a little sketchy occasionally. But Becky wins by default because you suck. So, folks.
Are you going to go by topic?
I am.
Okay.
The first one, 19 crimes. The fact that
tick
he could actually make an argument that was in some way positive gives Scott the win on 19 crimes. Good
I
job.
I know. I was impressed. I really liked the idea that you could buy a small bottle, which is a positive. That was very
not
creative.
Small enough, though.
That's true. Now, James Suckley, number two. Scott was pro. And Becky was con. And Becky made better points.
What?
Yes, Becky got that.
How's that? How's James Suckling being a foundation of the show as a pro argument, not a winning argument?
Because she made the argument about if he smoked cigars and drank wine. That is an intuitive argument. And I did not know that he was a cigar reviewer. She taught me something. He taught me shit. So.
Mine is that you can buy many bottles of 19 crimes.
That's true. Well, I knew that, but it was still a good argument. And the fact that you could say anything that was positive in some even negative fashion was impressive. Charles Shaw. Becky was
unlicensed is formally requesting a review of that score.
Yeah,
unlicensed. We're looking for VAR.
Becky video, was pro on Charles Shaw. Scott was con. Scott did not have his heart in that, and it could tell. So Becky won the Charles Shaw argument. Next, we had on number four, Scott was pro Burgundy. Becky was anti Burgundy. Scott didn't.
How can you be
Scott made no fucking sense his entire damn time talking about Burgundy.
It's the best region in the world.
It's not. That's okay. What, Becky won that.
Oh my
lord. It's terrible. So we didn't even need to do a fifth.
No, but we did it anyway, and Becky won that too. Even though she was confusing the irregularities of Chile with Argentina.
I would assume they're the same, right?
No.
Argentinian Malbecs. I forgot those.
Malbecs.
Yes. Ugh.
Yes, your one argument, but you still won because he sucks.
Okay.
So Becky wins this round of pro versus con.
It's stressful. I feel like I'm on Around the Horn where they give points.
That's basically how that was. Yeah, I wish I could mute Scott easily. I can, but I have to turn a knob. If I could press a button.
It's easier because you just get to talk about what you want. You don't have to go pro or con. You can just say what you want. You can say both sides of the argument.
I know. It's so hard.
I know. This is harder because I'm more genius. So.
No, you're not. You just. Arbitrary and
you can't even say anything positive about Burgundy.
Who's Tim Atkins?
He's the man that wears no shirt and reviews wine. Remember?
Rob has some.
He has no internet presence.
A mini man crush on him.
Where'd you find him?
And well,
he reviewed the Campo Viejo artist series. Remember that?
That's not where he found him.
I tried to actually put a. I tried to frame a picture of him instead of the pedophile. I found no internet presence of Tim Atkins. But I did not. I did not. Google who the fuck is Tim Atkins like you did. So, you know, Pinofile is a website. Timmy? No, sir.
So I have a question. So, Scott, you said that Burgundy was the greatest wine region in the
world.
That
or Bordeaux.
So if you could only drink from one area, would you pick Burgundy?
Well, Pinot's not my thing, so I'd probably go Bordeaux.
Okay. One guy, what would you pick?
Of any region in the world? Hmm.
And I realistically, I don't know that I'd do that, but I'd definitely pick Bordeaux over Burgundy.
If I had to pick just one place to drink from.
I know what I would pick.
I would probably pick Stag's Leap. The Stag's Leap AVA in Napa.
Jesus.
It's just me. But then again, if you had to pay for it all, then I'd say Columbia Valley.
No. Price is no.
Okay. Well, Stag's Leap. I would say that. Stag's Leap.
Okay.
I mean, I love Bordeaux, but you can get the Stag's Leap, for those who don't know, are very, very soft, supple Cabernets. Schaefer's there. Love Schaefer.
Mm-hmm.
Silverado's there. Yeah. But there's some really good wineries there, and I do like Stag's Leap wines. You didn't know that, did you?
I would not have picked that for you.
You mock me about Stag's Leap wines all the time.
No, Stag's Leap, not Stag's Leap wines. Although that's there too. But I don't think that the stuff that you're drinking is from Stag's Leap AVA. It's from the Valley. So, you know, I'm talking about Schaefer. I just drink Schaefer. I like Schaefer. Yeah. So there we go, folks.
No one's going to ask me.
Oh, yeah. Where would you go?
Do you know? What would you guess?
New Zealand?
Yeah.
But where in New Zealand?
I don't have to go that.
Marlboro?
Yeah. I mean, sure.
Antonio?
Yeah. That's where I would pick is Marlboro.
By the way, I might have a surprise for you. Coming in the wine.com order.
Yeah.
Big surprise. Big surprise. You're going to like it. Okay. So,
yeah, that's a tease.
Yeah, it is.
Just tell her what it is.
He did.
What?
It's Antonian.
No. I'm sorry. I misspoke. It's not Antonian.
Oh.
No, it's actually, I'll tell you. I forget what it's called, but it is a New Zealand Pinot Noir from the same region as Love Block. What is it? I tried to say Antonian, it's Otago or what was it?
Yeah. Oh, Otago?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, it's Nuevo.
Something.
Isn't Love Block from Nuevo?
Anyway, this is $18.99 and got a 92 from the Spectator.
Wow.
So we'll go to Whirl. It's like Shadow something. I don't know what it is. So folks, we're going to take a break and then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So the 16 Kune Crianza from Rioja.
Our crack research department has been at work while we were off air.
What were you doing?
Love Block. Is in Marlboro's Awatera Valley.
Awatera, that's what it is. Awatera.
Awatera. So not Nuevo. I don't know where I got Nuevo.
I don't know. So we're going to go over the Triple B, who's going to provide this score for us. It's going to be very satisfying for everyone.
I always have a little bit of a difficult time when we drink a wine that's really highly reviewed, like a 90. And I don't agree with it. I keep drinking it looking for what I'm missing.
You're not missing anything.
I know. But do you know the feeling like everyone else thought it was a 90? Why do I not think it's a 90?
They thought it was a 90 when they drank 400 other wines during one sitting.
Don't worry about it.
Well, okay. Well, so anyways, that's...
Scored how you think it should be scored.
I would give it like an 86. It is a very nice wine. My range would be like 86, 87. I think either one is fine. It is very true of the varietal. It just doesn't have anything that's like memorable about it. I think this is a great introduction to a Tempranillo. There's nothing wrong with it at all. I just would like more from it.
Yeah. Similar, but I'm going 87. It's one of its assets is probably why it doesn't get scored higher. It's a little on the leaner side. Mm-hmm. The body's, it's not lacking. It's not a flaw, but it's just, but it's the same thing, that leaner, softer profile is what makes it so drinkable and so approachable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice fruit forward front palate, cherry, sweet plum. Peppery finish, although that peppery finish has kind of subsided a little bit.
Yeah, it has.
But, you know, for mass production, nearly 5 million bottles a year, this is good wine. They know what they're doing. They know how to make good wine, and this is a good wine. Not great. It's, as you said, it's nothing memorable, nothing spectacular, but couldn't recommend something more than this wine because it's easy, 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 easy. This is a summertime red.
It is more summertime. And I'm going to go one more point. I'm going to give it an 88.
Whoa.
But it's an 88 to 86.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was thinking 88 to 86. We'll give it top of the mark, though. Becky, once again, is Russian. Not that I disagree.
And once again, I'm my favorite reviewer.
Yes. And by the way, you need to read the description I have for that episode on the iTunes.
Really?
You should. You should do it now as you're sitting across from me, because you might divorce me.
Rob, why do you torture your soul by mocking your wife in this way?
I'm just saying. I'm trying to keep it even. But nevertheless, this wine is a good expression of Crianza. But once again, it's not jazzy. But it does do what it does well. It does have good expressions of cherry. It does have a nice spicy finish. It's subsided a little bit, but the tannins are there. They're grippy. Overall, it's a medium-ish bodied wine. Where it's lacking is the other things. The pantomime, the panache that you're looking for that has a little bit more, that goes beyond the wine. It's something that transcends it. Am I going to remember 3 months from now drinking this? No. Do I remember other wines 3 months later? Yes. The good wines that are getting in the 90s, I remember them. I remember what they taste like. I remember the experience. This one tastes like a dozen or more Rioja wines that I have had over my lifetime.
But I think that's a, you know, a little mental trick you played on yourself. You compared it to a Chianti.
Well, it does. Reminds me a little bit of Chianti.
Yeah, it's nondescript. It's like a nondescript Chianti. So,
but it tastes like a Crianza. It tastes like it's supposed to taste like. It just doesn't transcend that much over that. It gets a little bit of a bump because of A, it's pleasing. B, it has an accessibility to it. So those things in themselves bring them above an 85, 86 range, where that's just more.
The other thing we haven't really detailed, it's a really well-balanced wine.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's front palate, mid-palate.
It's a good wine. Would I buy it again? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Yeah, I'm not going to like hoard it. But I was just out there and I saw, I'm like, oh yeah, hey, Kune, I'll grab a bottle of that.
If you were going to throw a dinner party and wanted to put out six bottles of wine, this would be a good one to do.
I would actually buy the Sasso Primitivo.
But still, this is,
or McManus,
be in the wheelhouse.
The Petit Verdot or the Petit Syrah.
But Princess and I had a couple of bottles in the last week of this Tempranillo. That's $10.
Yeah.
That was a memorable wine. This one's just not.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yeah. It's a value price Hall of Fame, though.
Okay.
It did a good job. We like it. But, you know, it has its limits. It has a ceiling to it, where some of these other wines we have don't have that. They are just a little bit more. And this wine just says, it just says to me that the maker said we want it to be this good. We don't want to go beyond that. We want it to be this good. This is good enough. That's all you need to be, and we'll sell everything that we have and make plenty of money, and it'll be respectable and get good reviews based upon our reputation.
And for,
that's what this is.
And it is that. And they are good at making that.
Yeah.
It's well done.
Yeah, it's well done. Value Price Hall of Fame. Nice job to Kune or CVNA. So,
CVNA. Vinicola.
Yes. So with that, folks, for the Wine Vault, for Rob the Wine Guy,
Robert,
Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver,
you must put your work in. You must work on your inner soul.
Mm-hmm. And you should wear, what is that? Is that a Franco Harris jersey you're wearing?
It is.
Yeah. It's all probably famer, from 70s. Yeah, nice. And the Triple B. We're going to bid you adieu and see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.